بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. باب ما يقوله بعد تغميض الميت. عن أم سلمة رضي الله عنها قالت: دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أبي سلمة وقد شق بصره فأغمضه، ثم قال: إن الروح إذا قبض تبعه البصر. فضج ناس من أهله فقال: لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير، فإن الملائكة يؤمنون على ما تقولون. ثم قال: اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين، واخلفه في عقبه في الغابرين، واغفر لنا وله يا رب العالمين، وافسح له في قبره، ونور له فيه. رواه مسلم. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced this chapter, what should be said, in other words, what should be recited, what dua should be made, بعد تغميض الميت. تغميض الميت means covering the eyes of the deceased. You find that fitratan, naturally, if you observe a person in the last gasp of life, when he passes away, very often you will notice that his eyes are open and are staring in a certain direction. So we learn in this chapter, besides the dua that should be recited at this juncture, what should you do? First of all, it is advised that you should close the eyes before the body becomes cold, because once the body becomes cold, that will become difficult to do and the eyes will remain open. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, prior to her marriage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she was married to a Sahabi who has the kuniyat or laqab of Abu Salma. His actual name was Abdullah bin Asad Makhzumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a very, very famous sahabi. Several incidents are narrated about him. Nevertheless, Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon Abu Salma waqad shaqqa basaruhu. His eyes were open and his eyes were fixed. In other words, there was this expression, shaqqa basaruhu, his eyes were staring. And obviously was open and was fixed in a certain direction. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered or closed his eyes. This first section, or this fa'aghmadahu, is part of the heading or the chapter that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought. In other words, taghmidul mayyit, covering the eyes of the deceased. Aside from the covering of the eyes, ulama advise also that other parts of the body, for whatever reason, if the limbs of the body become twisted or turned in an unnatural direction, that will make it difficult for the bathing of the body, for the ghusl, for the putting on of the kafan, etc. This advice is given that you should straighten the other limbs of the body whilst there is still heat in the body, because once it becomes cold, then it will become difficult. In other words, the straightening of the arms, the straightening of the feet, etc., that will assist in the ghusl and in the kafan, etc. Besides the closing of the eyes, these steps also one will take. ثم قال, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that verily the soul, when it is being removed, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. What is mort, what is death? This I mentioned previously, that scientists, they give almost 200 different definitions as to what is mort and death. The fact that they have 200 different theories obviously indicates that most of it is conjecture and guesswork. They don't even, scientifically, they have medically, they haven't even realized what is maut. Simple explanation Allah Ta'ala gives us in the Quran as to what is maut and death is the removal of the ruh and the soul from the body. As we've seen in the previous chapters, this is a very challenging and a difficult time when the ruh is being separated from the body. It is not without pain, without a very great level of difficulty. So, إِنَّ الرُّوحَ إِذَا قُبِضْ, when the soul is being snatched, in other words, removed from the body, تَبِعَهُ الْبَصَرْ, the eyes follow the movement of the ruh and the soul. From this first part of the hadith, there are several points which the ulama ikram have extracted. First of all, the ruh and the soul. Surah Bani Israel, amongst the questions that were put to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kuffar of Makkah had approached the Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book, and they asked them that to test the veracity of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what question can we put to him? So amongst them, this question, that time they were told to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Ashabi Kahf, the youngsters of the cave, about Zulqarnain, and they were told in advance that these two questions, Ashabi Kahf and Zulqarnain, he will give you detailed responses. Ask him about the ruh and the soul of man. The proof of his nubuwwat is that here the response will be very, very brief. He will not give you much detail. Because the true understanding of what the ruh and the soul is, that is beyond humanity. Allah Ta'ala mentions the question, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ, they ask you, or they are asking you about the ruh and the soul of man. قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, tell them that the ruh and the soul is from the decree and order of Allah. That's all. Explanation as to what the ruh and the soul is, min amri rabbi, it is from the amr of Allah Ta'ala. Wama utitu min al-ilmi illa qalila, you were given very little knowledge. So what we can infer up to this point, inna ruha idha qubida tabi'ahu al-basar, is that the ruh in the soul has some sort of physical form, because obviously for the eyes to be following it, for the eyes to be witnessing its departure, they have to be witnessing something. So, we learn that it has a physical form, but obviously we cannot see it. Allah Ta'ala gives the mayyit the ability to witness his own soul leaving his body. And obviously the malaika, that are the ones who are extracting the soul, they also can see this physical form that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the ruh and the soul. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that as it is leaving the body, tabi'ahul basar, the gaze follows the departure of the ruh and the soul from the body. This raises one question. Ulama ikram, obviously it's not pertinent to our discussion. When I say not pertinent, there's a great deal of commentary that the Muhaddiseen or the scholars of hadith have given about this. Very, very briefly, we are going to touch on this point. The point is that when the soul is blown into the person, then Allah Ta'ala through that gives the person life. He is able to see, hear, speak, talk, move, etc. More than death is the separation of the soul from the body. So obviously the practices or the acts that are associated with life, once the ruh and the soul has to leave the body, they will cease. So how is it when the soul is taken out of the body? According to the hadith, Rasulullah says this person is witnessing its departure. Once the soul is taken out, he should not be able to see, nor should he be able to hear, etc. So how is it that, so based on this, many ulama of the opinion that even after the soul is taken out of the body, Obviously, if the person was 50 or 60 or 70 years, whatever period of life he lived, that soul remained within the body. So there is a connection that is formed between the ruh and the jasad, the body. So when the soul is taken out, ذَكَرَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ لِلْرُوحِ اتِّصَالًا بِالْبَدَنِ, that a brief, very latif, light form of connection remains between the ruh, the soul and the body. And it is the remnants of this connection that allow this person to actually witness the ruh and the soul leaving the body before he actually passes away, or as he is passing away from this world. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after closing the eyes of Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu, addresses the family and he says that إِنَّ الرُّوحَ إِذَا قُبِرْ, when the soul is extracted or taken out, تَبِعَهُ الْبَصَرْ, the eyes follow it. Now when they heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this, obviously this is now affirmation that Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Abdul Asad al-Makhzumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has actually passed away. So, فَضَجَّ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ, this word dajja refers to crying or sobbing, but it means with sound. Or the closest translation we can give to that is that they began wailing and crying at the departure of Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We find that in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, this was something that used to take place. That they used to, as ulama mentioned, yad'una bil waili wa thubur, halakat, destruction may fall upon us, what a great loss, etc. This is amongst the practices of Jahiliyyah and ignorance that Islam does not allow. You are allowed to express your grief. It is natural. You're supposed to cry, etc. But to wail, scream and cry, start tearing your clothing, doing strange practices, some people hit their bodies, etc. All this is totally prohibited and haram in Islam. This is not the way which we express our grief. At this time, what should we be doing? Exercising patience. And very important, we learn from the hadith, we've run out of time, obviously, we'll continue, is that this is the time of dua. When a mayyit passes away, it's a time of dua. Because whenever Allah Ta'ala puts you in ibtila'at, in test, then naturally your connection with Allah Ta'ala increases. At that time you become more conscious of Allah. You're standing around somebody that has passed away, you are more conscious of your mortality. You are more conscious of akhirat. You are more conscious, you are asking yourself these questions. This person has passed away, what preparation have I made for mort and death? So at times like this, du'as are accepted. So if you are going to wail, scream, rant, etc., it's possible that in all that, you are going to invite curses upon yourself. And as we find in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us that at this juncture, not only are du'as accepted, but the malaika are making ameen on your du'a. So if you are going to say the wrong things, then na'uzubillah, Allah protect us. The malaika are going to say ameen to those curses that we invoked on ourselves. So on the one hand, delicate moment, a time to express sabr, a time to make sincere dua, but delicate in this sense that if you do the wrong thing also, it can have the negative effect. Inshallah, we'll continue. SubhanAllah.